Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ghouls. It's Doc, and welcome to Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema. Sorry about the no-show yesterday, which is Tuesday. I was definitely not feeling well, but I was in a rough shape. Better now, which is all good. So tonight on Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema, we are talking about the mess of a movie, one of the most lowest-rated Godzilla flicks ever, one of the most hated Godzilla movies besides the Roland Emmerich mess of 98 and Son of Godzilla, which I love. I love Son of Godzilla, but anyway, this is Godzilla's Revenge. Oh, brother. Wow. Godzilla's Revenge, what a doozy. So, what is Godzilla's Revenge? It is revenge of the revenge of movie diarrhea. No, just kidding. Basically, Godzilla's Revenge is a tale that takes place in the Godzilla universe, but it's kind of like, it's weird, because with this movie, you don't know if Godzilla really exists, or if Godzilla and his cohorts are film fantasy, or if they are all in a child's imagination. You really can't tell in this one because of how the movie was put together. It's not very well put together, but there are some positives to it, which we'll get to eventually. Okay, so basically where we start off is there's a little kid by the name of Ichiro. He's got a huge imagination. He lives with his parents. He's a latchkey kid. Well, technically, he doesn't live with his parents because, well, they're never home. So this poor kid's got to stay with the next door neighbor, who's a very kindly old man / toy inventor, decent dude. And he uses his imagination to get away from the bullies in his life. His name is Gabbara, and he's got a bunch of friends that torment the hell out of poor Ichiro. And all the kid wants to do is just survive and go get parts for this little radio he makes that helps him tune into his imagination, which brings him to Monster Island, where Godzilla and everybody else, all the other Toho monsters, are currently residing. Once again, we don't know if this is real life, if Godzilla is part of this child, like only this child's imagination, or if they are just film characters, or if they're real life creatures of destruction. We don't know. It's kind of like one of those, he kind of pokes at the fourth wall type and goes, ha ha, what do you think, dear watcher? But anyway, yeah. And like I said, there's one kaiju in this movie, as I'm throwing my pen repeatedly against the couch, because this monster, its name is Gabbara, same name as his bully, and this monster named Gabbara looks like a combination of a cat and an ogre, makes a sound like, literally, like a really pissed off drunk turkey. It warbles, basically, and it has a glowing horn occasionally and electrical powers. And, of course, this little jerk of a monster torments Minya, which is the son of Godzilla, all throughout this movie. And basically, it's this whole thing, the whole idea of it is that Ichiro learns through Minya's actions and Godzilla's actions taking out Gabbara, the monster Gabbara, on how to stick up for himself and make friends and all that stuff. Well, that right there is the whole plot line in a nutshell, but the really sad thing is with this movie is that 90%, yes, 90 percentage sign of this film is stock footage from older Godzilla movies. And you'll notice with these the different scenes that they use from Son of Godzilla, Godzilla versus Sea Monster. I can't. It's just basically all a good majority of the older films. Is that the Godzilla costume changes? It appears different in some of the clips than it does in the actual timeline of Godzilla's Revenge. In the timeline, where does in the Godzilla timeline, where does this flop in? I have no freaking idea. It's one of those way out there Godzilla flicks. It is the most way out there Godzilla flick. Just a lot of people say Godzilla versus Megalon is just okay. It is, but it's not out there as this is. So anyway, there's a little bit of a subplot in here that also deals with two bank robbers who get away with like 1 million yen or whatever. Don't exactly remember the exact numbers, but apparently, Ichiro, in between these trips to Monster Island, who he takes a Pan Am flight, which Pan Am now no longer exists. He sees the bank robbers kidnap him, and he falls asleep again, goes to Monster Island, helps Minya defeat Gabra in Monster Land, comes out, basically kicks the butts, Home Alone style, yes, slightly Home Alone style, of the bank robbers. Then the next day, he beats up his bully slightly, not like a serious beating, but just like a shoved to the ground and like kicked dirt on him, like basically like how a third or fourth grader would pull a fight, basically. Then Ichiro go. There's a guy. Okay, this is. I don't really know how to do the transition here, but after this little fight, there's a gentleman who is up on a, gosh, what do they call this thing? Basically, he's doing a commercial board, and Ichiro knocks him off the commercial board. It's covered in paint, and basically he goes running off with his new friends and all that stuff. Oh, okay. Redeeming factors in this movie. It's short. It's only 69 minutes. Hello. The American version has different music, different intro music, which is more of like almost a spy theme-ish sounding music with grunts, burps, monster noises all the way through. It's really cool. Okay. Now, the Japanese version of the film has got very childlike music for the scenes with Ichiro and his friends. And yeah, the music in this movie just works. Like, yes, there's some repeats of the class of older film music, but the newer stuff that was written for this was extremely good. And it was by Kunio Miyauchi. I'm very bad with pronunciation, so I do apologize. But it's got this very fun, childlike tone to it all the way through, and it's really, you can just put it on. I would literally put it on my truck stereo and just like cruise down to Pennsylvania and listen to it. It's just fun. The acting, well, it's good. It's definitely good. Ichiro is an annoying child. Oh my God, is he an annoying child? I don't know what it is, but it seems like all the kids in these Godzilla films or Gamera movies annoy the piss out of me. Pardon the language, but they do. And I'm going to quote MST3K on this one. Kenny. Yeah, he's got the Kenny syndrome. Basically, the Kenny syndrome is the annoying little turd of a kid that's in every single Japanese monster movie that knows exactly what to do, and then the adults have to listen to him. And their voice actors for, well, the American voice actors who do the overdub, the voices are usually so grating you want to end up like eating your television before you want to watch this movie again because of how annoying the voice is. So anyway, but yeah, the clips that throw back to the older films are definitely good for nostalgia's sake, without a doubt. The newer monster footage is just goofy. It's really dumb, but it's made for kids. And you can definitely tell that this is an era where Toho was losing budget and losing their major actors and everything because there were some major issues. I'm not exactly sure. Hi, Fluffy. Hi, honey. Hi, Fluffy Boo Boo. Sorry about the interruption there. I have my window open, and we have my garage cat Fluffy likes to peek his head in. He's like peeping Tom cat. Go figure. And I always have to say hi to him because that's just how nice I am. But anyway, back to the movie here. So, oh crap, where was I? Oh no, I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, annoying kid. Went from no, annoying to kid to saying hello to my cat. Anyway, yeah. Oh right, the monster scenes, low budget. Yeah, Toho was bleeding money like a sieve. So for I don't remember the exact reasons, but they were having some serious financial issues. So their budgets on the Godzilla films went from grandiose to like close to nothing. And this proves it right here. This is one of the movies that they used a ton of stock footage in. It's obvious what it is, and you just go, oh man, this hurts the brain. And you know, it's a kid's adventure. That's what it was made for. It was made for little kids. Is it worth adding to your collection? For completion's sake, yes. And also, if you have little kid, like a little children in your family who want to experience Godzilla, this would be an interesting start for them. They may not like it, depending if your children are more advanced. But if you know they're the little 5-year-old who loves monsters and loves toys and loves Transformers, this would be perfect. Like I said, it's short, it's somewhat entertaining, just because of how ludicrous and dumb it is. And it was, it, and I, that's mean of me to say, honestly, but that's how I feel. But I know it wasn't made to be dumb. It was made to appeal to youngsters so that they could bring in the kids into the matinees and their special Toho. Toho actually owns a line of theaters. They've owned them for years and years and years and years and years. Where they would play like a Godzilla film, then they'd play like highlights from other Godzilla movies, and they play a cartoon. You know, basically, it's their version of the Saturday matinee for kids. And this is what this movie was specifically made for that. So, you know, it's definitely watchable. So, which brings a question. This was actually going to be talked about more a little bit closer to Mother's Day, and Mother's Day was actually this past Sunday. Who or what is Minya's, aka also known as Son of Godzilla's mother? In the Japanese series, we do not know. There's many people who say, well, maybe what if Godzilla's female? Every producer and every director who has worked, everybody who is probably his. Pretty much everybody. Ishiro Hondo is even quoted as saying Godzilla is a male and Mothra is a female, and that just does not biologically work. So don't think Mothra is Minya's mom. And didn't know. Minya's mother is an unknown factor in this universe. Now, if you hop over to the 1998 Roland Emmerich mess, excuse me, that has Matthew Broderick in it. Godzilla is its own baby mama and baby daddy, a self-reproducing hermaphrodite in the 98 movie. And I go and I look at the Japanese Godzilla movies and I just go, no, that doesn't work. That does not work. It doesn't, no. So we kind of move 98 Godzilla over to the side and go, you stay over there. You're kind of fun to watch every once in a while. Not a favorite. But if you were a monster movie by any other name, it'd be really, then Godzilla, it would have been really good. But I will not say anybody's wrong for liking Godzilla 98 because I'll tell you what, when I was 18 years old and it first came out, I really liked it. I watch it now and go, I need a beer. So anyway, yeah, that's pretty much Godzilla's Revenge in a nutshell. I'm gonna be doing a couple more Godzilla films here on Doc Sarge's Toxic Cinema until Godzilla releases at the end of the month. Godzilla King of the Monsters releases in the end of the month. And a little thing about that, I am so darn happy I'm alive. I'm alive in an era where kaiju movies are making a massive comeback. Because after 85, I was born in 80, you know, 85, Godzilla comes out here in the States again. You really didn't catch any Godzilla flicks in the theater, in like wide release theaters. I did catch Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster at the Kodak Theater, along with Godzilla Final Wars at the Kodak Theater in Rochester, New York. Which, oh yes, and the original Gojira in Ohio at the Palace Theater through Creepy Classics and Ron Adams and crew in Mothra. I've seen in the big screen. 20 Million Miles to Earth, I've seen in the big screen. King Kong versus Godzilla. Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of really good giant monster movies on the big screen. Would this work nowadays in the movie theater? Oh no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. It probably wouldn't. This is one for you to, you know, if you've got home theater, like I said, just throw it up for the kids. And if you need some background noise or something to occasionally, like, look at and smile at when you're doing your work, this would be the perfect movie for that. Gabra, the monster, has never made any other appearances in any other films whatsoever, which is kind of weird because Destroyer Monster before this or after this? I really think, oh God, Destroying Monsters, I think was, okay, this was 1969. Let's see here. Destroy All Monsters. I think that was 65. 68, okay. Okay, so that answers one question. Why wasn't Gabra in Destroy All Monsters? Because all the monsters were in Destroy All Monsters. Because that was 1968, and Godzilla's Revenge is 1969. So we got that all taken care of. And also the Japanese name for Godzilla's Revenge is All Monsters Attack. So, all right. So that is All Monsters Attack, also known as Revenge, Godzilla's Revenge, also known as a clip shit show by some people. To me, I'll watch it. Actually, let me explain how much I will actually watch it. I have the DVD release of it. I also have the Japanese Blu-ray release from Toho themselves. So, I will watch it. Not as often as the other films. But yeah, it's watchable. And just, I don't know. I can't really suggest it. And like, you must see. It's like you watch it once, put it in your collection, call it a night if you're not a fan. All right, everybody. So I appreciate everyone for listening in and supporting the Deviant Legion. Wait, what are we talking about? Carl's Cavern, the Sludge Pit, and Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema. We appreciate every single one of our listeners and all of our crews. So good night, everybody.